Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, bear hugs are what Scott believes should be given with no clothing on. Go figure.
Welcome back. This football season is just flying. I mean,
it's crazy.
It really is. Week 8.
Week 8 of the NFL. I mean, feels like yesterday we were just starting.
Seems like just yesterday the Steelers were beating Buffalo, and I'm like, heck yes, let's do this.
Now they're sitting at even.
Now Ben couldn't break glass that on. This is another reason that fantasy football traumatizes me.
Yeah.
You know, think of the people who drafted Christian McCaffrey and they said, man, we're rolling. We're set.
And he's a first rounder. Yeah, you take him number one.
Think of the poor suckers who drafted Sam Darnold.
Ooh. Ooh. It's tough. Hopefully he's not your starter on the fantasy squad.
No, that makes you a sucker. Yeah, you're just a sucker overall in life. I don't want you doing anything for me. Joining us now, making his weekly appearance on the Saitama Hotline, is a man who's been in the fantasy football game since 1980. It's a long time. He's the host of the Flying Elvis's Fantasy Football Show. You can get that on dspmediaonline.com, as well as the premier fantasy podcast on Press Play Podcast Network. Jeff Fitoff, welcome back.
Hey, man, what's going on? You know, by the way, Sam Darnold's parents would not even have drafted Sam Darnold, so nobody should have drafted Sam Darnold.
I say on here all the time, and I'm going to say it again, I hope he has like a hat endorsement because he has the biggest head I've ever seen on a human being ever. It's ginormous.
Oh, yeah. That goes back to the old Joe Oliver joke. Like, would you rather have $1 million or Sam Darnold's head full of nickels?
Write that one down, Trent.
We'll clip that for sure.
Tito, it's been a wild season. Cardinals are undefeated. They're playing the Packers tonight. Packers only have one loss. What is your number one point of emphasis going into this weekend?
Well, the Packers wide receivers. I mean, if I told you that Equanimeous St. Brown could have an impact tonight on the Green Bay receiving core, you'd think I was an idiot, but he could. I mean, look, you've got Davante Adams out, Alan Lazard out, Malik Taylor's out, all because of COVID-19. So hopefully Marquez Valdez-Scantling comes back and plays. You got him, you got Randall Cobb, Amari Rodgers, Robert Tonyan, but it's a whole collection of just misfit toys. So I don't know which one's the best one to play out of those. I'm probably punting on all of them. Maybe Tonyan if you're desperate at tight end because the Raiders are off with Darren Waller, the Ravens are off with Mark Andrews. Maybe Tonyan at that point, but really, I think Rodgers will throw for 300 yards, but I just don't know who it's going to be to and how it's going to be distributed.
You know, Jeff, we're at a point in the season, as I said, we're going into week 8. That's, you know, traditionally the midpoint of the season. I still consider it the midpoint of the season. Has there been a trend or anything occur regularly that you are also monitoring and that maybe other fantasy owners need to pay attention to?
Well, I think you got to pay attention to the workloads of the running backs that are the number two backs, because a lot of the times you look at it and say, there's no way this guy, he's a backup running back, you're not going to start him. But you got situations now like A.J. Dillon in Green Bay, who gets enough touches to be warranted as a flex starter on a weekly basis. This week, Samaje Perine in Cincinnati, you know, they're going to get the Jets. They should. And by the way, it was the last time the Bengals were a double-digit favorite against anybody. But they're a double-digit favorite against the Jets, so I think there's going to be a lot of time, like in the fourth quarter, where the Bengals are ahead, Mixon might not play as much. Perine could get some carries there. So Tony Pollard in Dallas is another one. You've had guys this year that, because of the way people use the running back situation now, you've had guys who are number two running backs who are making sense as a start or a near start on a weekly basis in the flex position just because of the way that the carries and touches are getting distributed.
Are there any number ones out there that you think people should really consider sitting? And are there any twos that you say absolutely should play?
Well, I think the ones I mentioned first, like Perine, I think you're playing Perine and Dillon. Dillon didn't get a lot of touches last week. I'm playing McKissick this week for Washington, especially the PPR format, because Antonio Gibson's dealing with a shin issue, and he's like a guy who's, at any given time, because he can leave the game, it's like it's amazing he's playing as much as he is. But McKissick's another guy for Washington I'm looking at. I mean, those are the true number twos that I like. Pollard and Dallas against Minnesota, I think they'll be able to get some run against that Vikings defense. So I think those guys are all worth flex starts this week. And, you know, the number one guys, I mean, you're usually starting the number one guys if you drafted them, because you probably don't have a better option just based on the way you distribute your draft capital.
And there's a couple of guys on the waiver wires, or you would presume to be on the waiver wires unless they're in a league, very, very savvy players such as yourself. Kenneth Gainwell, Boston Scott, Alan Lazard. Are you buying stock in those guys?
Not so much in Lazard yet. Lazard because he's off this week because of the COVID thing. So I wouldn't go out there and necessarily pick him up. You could probably wait on him because he's not going to improve his stats this week, obviously. In the Philadelphia situation with Miles Sanders being out, you've got Gainwell and you've got Boston Scott, like you mentioned. And I think that they're going to probably split the touches there. If you're desperate, I would say you could start Gainwell, but either one are really attractive options for me this week. I know Philly's got Detroit. Detroit doesn't have a great defense anyway, but Boston Scott's a little on the smaller side, but he does play a bigger factor, I think, in the passing game. I think that if I had to pick one of the two, it would be Gainwell, but I'm not sure Gainwell or Scott are must-starts at all this week, even as a flex play. Unless you're in a crazy deep league and you're really hurting a running back, then I could see starting Gainwell, but I hope you don't have to start either one of those guys.
Yeah, Jeff, C.J. Uzama, tight end for the Bengals. Bengals are playing good football right now. He's had three touchdowns over the last three games, but only eight targets, which is kind of mind-blowing to me that he's able to have that kind of production. Does a guy like that who's not getting as many targets scoring touchdowns, scoring points, bring value to your fantasy team? Is he a starter on people's fantasy teams?
He's only a starter if your number one tight end is flamed out or is off this week. You could take, if you have Waller or Andrews, you've got a stream of tight end for the week, I could see picking him up. But like you said, eight targets and three touchdowns, that is not sustainable. And you see guys like that who have these huge touchdown shares and a small amount of targets. A perfect example is like Robert Tonyan last year with Green Bay, had 10 touchdown receptions, not a lot of targets. It's not sustainable. You're seeing this year, Cobb's cut into Tonyan's target share a little bit, but still it's not a sustainable thing. So he's not somebody who I think is a long-term answer. I think if you're in a pickle this week, and I just aged 15 years by saying in a pickle, that's what my grandfather would have said. But if you're in that situation though, then yes, I could see getting him and playing it this week, but I don't want him on a weekly basis. I think there are enough better options out there, like a Dallas Goedert. If he's still available, go grab him at Philly. He's going to be a top six tight end the rest of the way.
Yeah, and Jeff, Dak Prescott, I believe he's questionable with a calf injury. Does that affect you? Because, we got two stars, Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. Does that affect you and starting either a CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper if Dak, who's been playing great football, is not playing in that game?
Yeah, if Dak doesn't play, I'm downgrading Cooper there. I still think CeeDee Lamb gets his targets, but I'm probably downgrading Cooper and upgrading Dalton Schultz if Prescott doesn't play. If Prescott does play, you can play all three of those guys and still play Zeke. But, yeah, I think Prescott's going to play. I know they're playing it up like, he's got a couple of hurdles he has to overcome, and they're using some language that makes it sound like he's questionable. I fully expect Prescott to be out there playing against Minnesota.
Yeah, now, Jeff, last thing for me here. Jerry Jeudy making his reappearance into the league. He's been out for, I believe, six or seven games. Are you looking for him to have a big game this Sunday, even though the Broncos are struggling? Teddy Bridgewater really hasn't found his rhythm after starting so good.
It is such a scary thing to try to upgrade or try to say that, the start of Bronco receiver when you look at who's throwing the ball to them. So you're going to start him. I think you're going to start Jeudy. You're going to start Sutton still. But I don't know if I expect big numbers out of him yet, but just because of the volume he's going to get, and I know the Broncos offense just looks so bad, but it can't be that bad in another week, can it? I'm starting both those guys, but I'm not expecting great things out of them.
And how many teams do you have again?
So, I've got five of my own, and I help manage seven others. Right? So it's kind of a down year this year.
And these others that you're managing, are you also in those leagues? Because that seems like kind of shady.
No, what they do is, dude, there's this company I work for, and people pay to have me consult with their teams or run their teams, which is amazing that you're getting fantasy football. But you get situations where guys sometimes want to be in a league because of it's like a bowling league thing, Scott, where it's like a very social thing. Sometimes it's a work thing to kind of get integrated with the people you work with, a fun thing to do, but people who know nothing about football. And so they have me consult with them on their teams, and I, on the ones I'm consulting with, I'll go through every week and look at their teams every day, really, and decide, you should pick this guy up, start this guy, drop this guy, offer this trade. And the teams that I run completely, the other guys in the league have no idea it's me doing it.
You are winning. I didn't know you were this smart to be able to pull this con off.
Well, the con is right. Yeah, maybe I'm not that smart, but I'm sorry to get a con, but I'm not smart enough. But so, yeah, I get paid to do this, dude. I get paid every year to do about 50 to 75 drafts for people.
Oh, my God. He's living large. He's the host of the Flying Elvis's Fantasy Football Show on the DSPMediaOnline.com and also the premier fantasy podcast. You can find that on the Press Play Podcast Network. Hit him up on Twitter. Give him a follow at FitHappens. Tito, buddy, I'm proud of you. I mean, you've cracked the code, brother. You've done it. I need to have you coach me up.
I'd rather be Scott Hamilton than Tito. Let me tell you that right now.
No, not even for a minute. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. We'll talk.
All right, Jeff Thidoff, our resident fantasy football expert.